From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Real estate and development are booming in Miami Beach, the billion-dollar sandbar. But developers are placing a high-stakes bet. The city built on Miami's eastern frontier is incredibly vulnerable to climate change. Sea levels are rising. The city is hit with routine flooding that comes rain or shine. Salt water is creeping closer to the fresh water supply that provides millions in the Miami area with drinking water. It's not the only coastal city that will be challenged by climate change, but its situation is vivid. This hour, On Point, rising buildings and rising seas in Miami. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. What do you see coming for cities like Miami, Miami Beach? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. A couple of months ago, here's CBS Miami's Gary Nelson reporting on high tides that caused major flooding on Miami Beach.
For a third straight day, much of Miami Beach was awash in flood waters, born of a king tide, the result of an extraordinary alignment of the earth and the moon that saw residents and tourists taking to bicycles, cars stranded in water above the running boards.
And this in a state where the governor doesn't like people to talk about climate change. Governor Rick Scott, reportedly banned the phrase. A Florida environmental official was told to use the term nuisance flooding instead of sea level rise. Here's Jon Stewart back in March on The Daily Show.
Nuisance flooding, moisture inconvenience, statewide jacuzzification. It appears by 2020, Miami will be involved in a surprise pool party.
Marco Rubio, not so sure about man-made climate change. Florida Senator Bill Nelson, Democrat, says there's no denying climate change.
Climate change is a reality, and we're seeing it today on the streets of Miami Beach.
Slosh, slosh, but also a lot of development and a lot of talk about resilience, about how Miami Beach may evolve and adapt for the future that is coming. Joining us now from Miami is Jenny Stiletovich, environmental reporter for the Miami Herald. They've done a lot of great reporting on this. Jenny, welcome to On Point. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to hear from the mayor of Miami Beach in a minute and a whole lot of others, but just help us with the big picture here. I mean, after the real estate crash in the big recession, the Great Recession, we have seen Miami come back like crazy. Give us a sense of what the boom looks like, and how do people make sense of that up against the challenges that climate change is clearly going to bring?
Well, yes, I think on the skyline, you know, the cranes are back. Building is going on not just on the beach, but also on the mainland, and it's big building. We had a story this morning about a Rinzo Piano-designed building going up at the north end of the beach where they expect prices to be $1,600 a square foot. So I think you have a little bit of a disconnect between the building industry and sort of the climate scientists who are issuing all these warnings, or maybe they realize it, but they don't necessarily want to talk about it.
What measures are being taken already to deal with these king tides and the water that comes even on sunny days, not from rain showering down, not from a hurricane, but just coming in? And with what you've got, this very porous limestone sort of undergirding for Miami and Miami Beach, it can sometimes just come right up through the ground.
That's right. And Miami Beach has installed four pumps in what it expects to be about 70 that will basically just pump all that water back out into the bay. And on the mainland, as infrastructure is being developed, they say they're taking into account these projections. But there doesn't really seem to be an overreaching, coordinated effort. And I think that's what's got some people really concerned, is it's real patchwork at this point.
The mayor of Miami Beach, Philip Levine, we'll hear from him in a second, but he's talking about things that can be done to keep Miami Beach going for 500 years minimum. Here he is talking with the PBS affiliate WPBT2.
We will not be happy until every road is dry. And that's our commitment to our residents. It won't be easy. We have storms. We have rising sea level due to climate change. But we're taking the offensive, aggressive action to making sure our city is viable and livable for the next 500 years at a minimum.
Jenny Stiletovich covers it for the Miami Herald. 500 years. Do people buy that? Do, I don't know, hydrologists and climate scientists and do scientists buy anything like that 500-year number?
No, I don't think so. I think that they see these projections are really high, and that you know, we may be able to find a way to engineer our way out of it. But what are the, for example, the environmental consequences? That's a big issue that they're still trying to figure out the answers for that. Water quality in Florida, you pump all the stormwater back into the bay. The bay is going to suffer. You mentioned saltwater intrusion because of the porous limestone. When saltwater makes its way inland, it's not just overland, it's underground. We have a shallow water supply here. We've already had to move wells a little bit north of here in Broward County. There's wells at the south end of the county that are being threatened by the saltwater intrusion, too. So there's a lot of environmental consequences that while we can build and make sure the streets are dry, the environment around us could just crumble.
Leah in Miami is calling. Hi, Leah. Thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi. I work in Miami Beach and in Miami often, and we see the sea level rise all the time with the coming in and out of the tides. And with Miami and Miami Beach saying that they want to add these pumps and get this water back out into the bay, it doesn't even fix the problem because it's just putting all this dirty water back into the bay, causing even different problems.
So how does it all add up in your mind? As a layperson living and working there, how does the future look to you, Leah?
I think it looks bleak. Every time I see new buildings going up, I'm like, what's the point?
Let's hope not. People are talking about Miami as the Venice of Florida, even if it gets very watery there, prospering in spite of that. But there are huge challenges here. We're going to dig on into them. Jenny Stiletovich, please stand by. Ben Kurtman joins us as well right now from Coral Gables, Florida. He's a climate modeling expert, professor, associate dean for research, University of Miami, the Rosenthal School for Marine and Atmospheric Science. Big voice in all of this. Ben Kurtman, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So what's your time frame for looking at the sea level rise challenge to Miami, Ben?
Well, in all honesty, in my own work, I focus on what's going to happen in the next 5, 10, 15, say 20, maybe even out to 30 years. That's really the focus of my own personal research. And there, the challenges are not just climate change, but also the natural variability and the coming together of a concentrated impact due to both climate change and climate variability happening at the same time, sort of a constructive interference, if you will. So I like to think about how to provide the best available science that includes, you know, all the ranges of possibilities of sea level rise in Miami Beach, and think about how to do that, not just from the trend, but also from the natural variability.
How much sea level rise could Miami Beach survive in the next 30 years, in your time window?
Well, what's going to happen in that time window is we're expecting a minimum of in the next 30 years at least 8 inches, and it could be as high as, say, 24 inches. But the problem is that there's a lot of variability on top of that, and we don't know or we haven't actually thought about tolerances. So what is the chance of having the 24 inches or for just one particular year, and what would that mean for Miami Beach, and are we building for those kind of tolerances? Are we building pumping systems for those kind of tolerances? And we thought about how that's contaminating the bay with pollution when we have to pump that much water. So I think we're moving in the right direction here in Miami Beach in the sense that they're trying to think about solutions to the sea level rise problem. They're probably falling short in terms of a holistic approach, considering all the possibilities and making sure that they take in the best available science to guide how they do the development.
Jenny, what does Miami Beach look like if you get between 8 and 24 inches in the next 30 years? We'll go beyond that because, of course, there are many more years waiting out there. But in that time frame, does it look like it looks today, or does the built infrastructure have to radically change? We're already talking about this nearly $500 million worth of pumps, talking about raising roads. Then your door might be below the road. I don't know what happens when the rain comes then. What does it just physically look like to make it through this next stretch, Jenny?
Well, the east side of the beach is higher than the west side, so where it floods and how it floods varies on, mm-hmm. on where you are. I think a lot of it is, I can't remember exactly now what the maps look like, but they're already doing some things where they're raising roads above where they think the projections are. So how they build that out in the future, it could be this, you know, kind of strange elevated roads, lower sidewalks, pumps in the middle of the street, you know.
Ben Kirtman, developers must love you keeping your perspective to 30 years because, of course, the numbers could get much more difficult beyond that on the sea level rise front. But just within that period, is this manageable? Is it survivable for Miami?
I think it is survivable on that 30-year timescale, but I think it's critically important that we embrace that we have a problem and try to think about holistic solutions, and so solutions that cut across all of the challenges. So as Jenny mentioned and a caller mentioned, you know, what kind of water are we pumping back into the bay? What are we doing to the ecosystems in Florida that so much of our tourism industry is dependent on? So I think we can't just think about the sea level rise problem. We have to think about changes in rainfall and our Florida Everglades restoration efforts. So we have to come up with holistic solutions, and there are efforts along those regards. There's this four-county compact among the South Florida local counties that are trying to look at exchanging information about climate change challenges and plans and procedures in order to develop holistic solutions that doesn't, you don't do something in one county that's going to hurt another county and so on and so forth. And so what I think we're moving in that direction. We're doing good things, but we're definitely not doing enough. And we really need to start thinking much more holistically and really making sure that our development decisions, I'm not so sure the developers would love me, that our development decisions are actually based on the best available science.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Miami. Miami beaches, booming real estate market, all kinds of new development going up on the water, and climate change, coming sea level rise, and how and whether those two things can live together. Jenny Stiletovich is with us from the Miami Herald. Ben Kirtman from the Research University of Miami's Rosenthal School for Marine and Atmospheric Science. The mayor of Miami Beach, Philip Levine, joins us in just a second. You can join us as well. What do you think? Can Miami Beach engineer its way through the sea level rise to come? Do you know Miami Beach? Do you have a condo there, a building? Have you seen the flooding already? What's going to happen when, if sea level rises a foot or 2 feet or 3 or 4 or 5? People are talking about all of those. Is Miami Beach at grips with the reality of the risk? Or is it living for today? We love Miami. We love Miami Beach. We wish it well, trying to see how this future works out. Philip Levine, mayor of Miami Beach, joins us now, elected in 2013, promising to get to grips with all this. Mayor Levine, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for the opportunity. It's great to come back to Boston, where I'm from.
Terrific. We heard you there in a piece of tape saying, you're going to handle this for 500 years. Really? How?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. We got started about 2 years ago on a $400 million project across Miami Beach, and we've seen some incredible results. And thankfully, I think we're about the first city to actually fight back against sea level rise, and very successfully.
That project is mainly about, what, pumping the water when it comes in, the king tides and all that, pumping it into the Bay of Biscayne. We just had a caller from Miami saying, hey, you know, first of all, the water's dirty, it gets in the Bay of Biscayne, and then you're just pumping it back, it's going to come right back in again. How long can pumping be the answer?
Well, Tom, I disagree. First of all, let me tell you how Miami Beach is. Miami Beach is a coastal city and is experiencing sea level rise like every coastal city all over the world.
Yes.
The difference between Miami Beach and other coastal cities, we're actually taking action and making things happen because, mm-hmm. you know, the thing about Miami Beach is whatever happens here gets shadowed and echoed all over the world in mass media. So we're very excited to be the model for the world. But let me address that one question. It's not just about pumps. It's about raising our roads. So we're raising roads. We're putting in pumps. We have new building codes to make sure that our construction is higher. We're building higher seawalls. But, you know, the interesting thing about people talk about polluting the bay. For the last 100 years, do you know where the rainwater and the bay water went when it came to Miami Beach? It went right back in the bay.
Mm-hmm.
It's never changed. The difference today is we're actually filtering it and cleaning it for the first time ever and then returning it where it actually came from. So I have to disagree with your caller 100%.
Well, where do you think this is all going? We're going to hear from Alan Shulman later in the hour. You know him, of course, famous architect there. He's talking about Miami Beach as a Venice in Florida. Do you see that? Is this water everywhere and all the built infrastructure sort of floating above it somehow?
No, not at all. I think that's we have a Jewish word for that. It's called a bubbemeister, and it means absolutely not true, okay? And it's kind of like...
We'll put it to Mr. Shulman, okay? But no, what gives you that confidence?
Well, I can tell you this. We have a solution now that's going to last us a good 40 or 50 years, and I'm sure 40 or 50 years from today with human innovation, we're going to find new and exciting ideas. Because when you put entrepreneurs together and you say, here's an opportunity, let's fight against sea level rise, they're going to come up with ideas. Remember, 30, 40 years ago, Tom, if I told you about iPhones, iChat, iPads, and I told you about mass communications that way, you'd think I was crazy. But entrepreneurs did it, and entrepreneurs will come up with great human innovation again to make coastal cities around the world 100% resilient and viable for many, many years to come. You know, as you know, it's the media. The media loves to sell advertising around tragedy and catastrophe. But thank God Miami Beach is not in that situation.
I have to take issue with it being the media. I mean, I'm reading your scholars in your backyard. You must hate conversations with Harold Wandless, but I'm sure you know him, the chairman, Department of Geological Sciences, University of Miami. He says the developers are building like there's no tomorrow, and they're right. He says your big pump project, and again, we wish Miami all the best, but we're trying to make sense of this. Here's Wandless saying that the big project is just the tiniest little Band-Aid for a cost of hundreds of million dollars, and it won't get us to the middle of the century. That's 2050. Well, that's pretty close.
I think I disagree, but the bigger issue we have, and where I would agree with the scientists and where I would agree with the naysayers, is that we have a state and a state government, unfortunately, and a governor that really doesn't believe in sea level rise, that won't actually fix their roads, which unfortunately are flooding during certain periods of the year. So, for example, on Miami Beach, we have a very famous road, Collins Avenue and Indian Creek. These are not owned by the city of Miami Beach. They're owned by the state of Florida. And we are having the toughest time convincing the state of Florida to raise their roads and put pumps in. So unless we get the state of Florida to take action on sea level rise, and, of course, with the assistance of the federal government, then, of course, cities like Miami Beach will be challenged. But we can do the most we can ourselves. But we need the state government to stand up and recognize that this is an issue for all of us, and Miami Beach is at the tip of the spear.
And, of course, they're reportedly, they're not even supposed to say the phrase, climate change. Jenny Stiletovich, what's your sense? We've got the mayor of Miami Beach right here. Are developers taking him at his word? Are they sharing his confidence? Is that why the buildings continue to go up on the water, because they think that Miami Beach can engineer its way out of this? Or do they have payoff periods that are shorter than the sea level rise, you know, anticipated? They can make their money back before the deluge.
I think the second part is right, that they do have payoff periods that are shorter. And I've also heard the argument that, you know, let the development in the building continue because that'll pay for the infrastructure we need. We don't have a state income tax in Florida. We need to get our money somewhere. So that I've heard that argument as well.
Ben Kirtman, is your good mayor realistic there? Or what about the doomsayers who say, you know, it's not even going to take Miami through the middle of this century?
No, I think what Mayor Levine is putting in place is putting him on the right trajectory for the mid-century. I think that they're being very forward-thinking and very aggressive. They're raising the roads, building pumping stations, thinking about what kind of building happens. I think that strategy is evolutionary. It's going to evolve over the next 5, 10, 15, 25 years. And yes, it's going to cost money, but I also agree with the mayor that there are economic opportunities in that, and that, you know, Miami Beach has the opportunity to lead the way to figure out how to respond to climate change, to show the rest of the world how to do that. So I agree with the mayor in the sense that it's critical that they've acknowledged that they have a problem, and they've acknowledged that they need to think about long-term planning in face of this challenge. And I also applaud him to continually going to the state and demanding that the state also pony up and help raise roads that are state roads, and that the state deal with its challenges and its participation in this partnership. So I'm not as nearly as pessimistic as Hal is about what happens in the mid-century. The challenge is, as time goes on, if we don't mitigate, we don't think about stabilizing the climate at, say, 1.5 degrees or 2.5 degrees of Celsius warming, if we don't start putting those mitigation effects, the challenges become more profound for places like Miami Beach. So the adaptation problem that Mayor Levine is focusing on, that he has to deal with, is connected to that mitigation problem beyond mid-century. You know, what's going to happen? Where are we going to stabilize the climate? And I do believe that what Mayor Levine can do will get him to mid-century. And if we stabilize the climate, there could be a Miami Beach for the next 500 years. That's a wonderful place that people want to go to. But we need to be aggressive about the adaptation part. That's the next 30 years out to mid-century, and we need to be aggressive about stabilizing the climate. That's the mitigation problem out beyond 100 years.
Of course, the big Paris meeting coming up, critical for all this globally. Yes, it could work out, and people wish it well. On the other hand, here's Harold Wanless again saying he thinks you're going to have sea level rise more than 2 feet by 2048, 3 feet by 2064, 4 to 6.5 feet by the end of this century. It's a challenge. Mayor Levine, we've got callers from other coastal cities around the country with questions for you. May I bring on a question for you?
Of course.
Sue in Virginia Beach. Virginia, you're on with the mayor of Miami Beach, Sue.
Hi, Mayor and Tom. This Hi. Is actually Gerald from Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Sorry, great.
And Tom, you left us on your list. You left us off your list.
Okay, okay, you're on now. Okay.
I'm a long-range city planner for Virginia Beach, and needless to say, we are looking at this issue comprehensively. In fact, we are looking at a rise of 1.5 feet for the next 20 to 30 years for planning purposes, and 3 feet for 30-plus years for infrastructure planning purposes. And you're absolutely right. We need to do this in partnership with our state government. We're not in it alone. And in addition to engineering solutions, we need to be looking at the full spectrum, including land use.
What's your question for Mayor Levine?
My question is actually for also the scientists. How mm-hmm. is Miami Beach and Florida considering its karst topography in its planning, in addition to pumping water out into the waterways? How does your karst topography factor into infiltration of water?
You mean this porous limestone underneath Miami Beach?
Yes, and my mom is a Miami Beach native, so I know it
right.
Mayor Levine, first to you on that, if I may.
Well, let me say, first of all, you happen to have a great governor with Terry McAuliffe where you are, so you got. I'm sure you're going to have a lot easier time getting cooperation for the state to wake up and assist you. So that's a benefit that you all have that we don't have here in Florida. Now, as far as we have a limestone underpinning of our city, so water can bubble up. There is a future idea about injecting water, deep, deep, deep injection, way down below the aquifer, but I don't think necessarily it's cost-effective yet or the technology is quite there.
How would that help you, Mayor?
Well, the way that would be is, as opposed to injecting the water back into the bay where it came from, if we were able to inject water way below the aquifer, deep, deep wells, it would make it a lot more cost-effective, hopefully in the future, as opposed to ripping up the streets and of course, having piping that goes all the way back out to the bay.
Yeah.
But it's something we're looking at, but it's way, way down the road. And that's when I talk about human innovation. I believe that these ideas will come forward. But unfortunately, we don't sit on bedrock. We sit on limestone, and it's something we just have to deal with.
I mean, that is the issue, right, that also goes to your drinking water supply there. If you get salt water in there, it goes to sewage treatment.
Absolutely. We're very careful of that, and that's why we have evolved away from injection wells, because injection wells in Miami Beach don't work anymore. The water level has gotten too high. It just bubbles right back up.
And there's the challenge. Mayor Philip Levine of Miami Beach, confident that with human ingenuity and entrepreneurship, 500 more years for Miami Beach. Mayor Levine, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Good luck to you there. Jenny Stiletovich, Ben Kirkman, please stand by. Henry Briseño joins us right now from Miami, geologist, research associate at the Florida International University's Southeast Environmental Research Center. He's been looking at water quality and sea level changes in South Florida. Henry Briseño, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for inviting me.
What are you expecting in terms of sea level rise in this century for Miami, Miami Beach, and how the city will manage it?
Well, what science, who have been working on this for years, they think that we're going to have at least 6 feet at the end of this century. That's very difficult to manage, not only Miami Beach, but just the city of Miami, too. And disregarding what the mayor says, that he can find solution for 500 years, that's really, you know, out of... You know, that's delusional. I'm really sorry, but that's what it is.
What about 6 feet? Can Miami survive a 6 feet sea level rise? Can anybody?
It's very difficult. It's very difficult. I mean, how do you build? You'll have to be pumping permanently because you are going to have a permanent sea level, which is way above your island. And when everything is so porous and permeable, that water is going to be gushing up. And you'll have the city flooded, you have to keep on pumping. How much are you going to invest in that? I mean, if you look back and you see the history of the planet, you know that these are cycles that had happened in the past many times. Last time, when we have the highest sea level, the shoreline was north of Okeechobee Lake, several hundred miles north of Miami. All this area was flooded. And that's a long run. I know it's a long run, 100, 200, 300 years, whatever. But in the meantime, we are going to have increases. And nobody knows exactly how, because it's not linear. It could be like a stepwise, just jumps. And that's what science is telling us about the very fast melting of the glaciers in Greenland and the Antarctica.
So what will that look like in, take Miami Beach? I mean, just start with the beach itself and then the whole city. Will it be there in 100 years?
Well, it will be something like a Venice, and only buildings surviving, and then you have convert the streets into channels, canals, and perhaps you will have something like that. But I don't know if that's going to be feasible, because if we think of what's the economic motor of Miami Beach, are there beaches? The beaches with the sand and, you know, where people really have mm-hmm. fun mm-hmm. diving and swimming and bathing, they're not going to be there.
Jenny Stolitovich, is the community, are the community fathers taking this on board, Miami Beach, without a beach, maybe without even streets, canals instead, gondolas and all the rest? Does that sound preposterous to people, or in the back of their minds that they're thinking, well, we're going to have to do a lot of adaptation, yeah, it's going to get watery?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the city fathers, the politicians, Mayor Levine, I think they think there'll be a beach, you know. And if you look at Miami Beach, years ago it was just a skinny stretch of beach. That's a man-made beach that's there today. So, you know, again, I mm-hmm. keep saying the same thing over and again, but I think they can engineer their way out of it, that technology will evolve, and that they'll figure out a way to build the city. You know, let's not forget, this. Henry's right, that, you know, this used to be a swamp. We dried it out before, and I think they think that's what they can do again. But what the mayor hasn't really factored in when he talks about all this pumping, he said, you know, rainwater used to run off the beach and into the bay. Well, this isn't rainwater. This is sea rise. This is water that comes up from underground, and it's a lot different, and there's a lot more of it. And again, I think what needs to be considered is the environmental consequences, and what will South Florida look like? If there may be dry roads, but what's the bay? What's the Everglades? What's the natural environment going to look like around it?
We're going to hear from architect Alan Shulman after a short break here. But Ben Kirtman, if we get up into these big numbers of sea level rise, to your mind, what can survive in Miami Beach?
Yeah, no, those big numbers in sea level rise are a tremendous challenge. You're absolutely right. I mean, you know, 6 feet of sea level rise, if all of Greenland melts, you know, you're talking about many more feet of sea level rise. And that's why I really strongly argue that we can't think about this problem independent of efforts to stabilize the climate. And so, you know, Mayor, we have a near-term challenge. We've committed to a certain amount of sea level rise over the next, say, 30 years or so. But then we hope to stabilize the climate. And so we need to think about mitigation strategies as a whole globe, how we're going to prevent the continued global warming. And so those scenarios, those outcomes that have been mentioned, we can affect those. So it may not be as bad as people are thinking.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Miami. Miami Beach is booming real estate market. All kinds of new development going up on the water, and climate change, coming sea level rise, and how and whether those two things can live together. What that will look like when it comes to Miami, Miami Beach. Jenny Stolitovich is with us from the Miami Herald. Ben Kirtman's here from the Research University of Miami, the Rosenthal School for Marine and Atmospheric Science there. Henry Briseño is with us. He's Research Associate at Florida International University's Southeast Environmental Research Center. You can join us as well. If Miami has problems, will it have plenty of company? New Orleans, Boston, New York, South Carolina, Virginia Beach? What is realistic here? What's serious? What's dreaming? Comments on the website. Gus says, I work for a big architecture firm in Miami, and I'm always appalled at how short-sighted and careless many of our designs are. Most of our buildings are designed at the floodplain, that level, because investors are concerned that buildings won't be as inviting with lobby levels up 8 to 10 feet. They're concerned about short-term revenue, not the future of our city. Let's put that to a very prominent architect in the Miami area. Alan Shulman joins us, principal at Shulman and Associates Design and Architecture in Miami. Also associate professor at University of Miami School of Architecture. Alan Shulman, thank you very much for being with us today.
Hi, Tom.
You and others talk a lot about resilience in design and talk about adapting architecture and design to deal with rising sea levels. What does that look like? Paint a picture for us of what of how you see Miami changing in the decades ahead, Alan.
Right. Well, I don't know if we can engineer our way out of the problems that we have. I agree with Ben Kurtman that the issue is evolutionary, and I think the city of Miami Beach is right to take immediate steps and to continue to think about how the next steps should look as it goes forward. But one way to think about this is to imagine not holding the water back at a certain point in its future, but to begin to live with the water. And I think there are many great cities around the world that have been doing that for a long time, and we can take some inspiration from that. So it could be as in Venice, where a great city, still a great city, where the water has been a fact of life for a long time now, episodically. And it could also be, in some more radical scenario, where the city is built over the water, or in some way allows the water to flow through the city and underneath the city. And I think that's what a lot of experts are saying when they during symposia and conference on sea level rise area.
Can we just take the Venice example for a moment? What would that mean in terms of infrastructure? Venice meaning, you still have buildings that would be on, you know, pilings that go into what your into the earth there, but they would have canals instead of roads. I guess that's the essence of what we think of as Venice.
Right. So it's interesting to think back 100 years because, like Venice, Miami Beach was built in the sea, in effect, right behind a dune, but more or less in the sea. So the city is already built on pilings. The infrastructure is set on pilings. And one could imagine a scenario where we allow water to come into some types of parks, which we could maybe call wetland terraces or rain gardens or bioswales. They could be also waterways that run through the streets, as in Venice. We have very wide avenues in Miami Beach, so there's some opportunity for that sort of thing. And, you know, remember that a whole part of the city, a large part of the city of Miami Beach, is actually a historic district. It's a National Register architectural district. It's a local historic district. So the buildings are built at set heights and really can't be raised. So, perhaps we need to learn to, live with the water somehow, either episodically or in a later stage, maybe permanently.
Jenny Stiletovich, what happens with the infrastructure issues if you get into that Venice scenario? How do you handle sewage? How do you handle drinking water? How do you handle all the stuff that's now buried?
I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to that question. I'm not an engineer. But one of the things that I was thinking of as Alan was talking, and maybe Ben can talk about this because he brought it up just last week, is that the models that that they've been using are very global and not specific, and for engineers and designers to really get a handle on local things, they need to have the models better predict what's going to happen on a small scale instead of these bigger scales. So maybe Ben could talk about that because I think that might help with the design issues.
Ben, help us here. How do you do it? I mean, Alan is game. He's to design for this. But even if you go to a Venice model, I mean, the implications beyond individual development seem to me very large when you come to sewage, drinking water, and a lot more.
Yeah, so Jenny's right. I think that, there's all of this climate change discussion, I think, and what the the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change produces and the Paris talks. What I think's lacking is actually the information that local communities like Miami Beach need in order to make decisions about their future for the next 30 years or so, and even beyond.
But how will you know that? Who knows how fast Greenland might collapse? Or these things are not steady, right? As Henry says,
and absolutely. And so what we need to do is be able to provide guidance on what are the possible outcomes as these things happen, and we need to figure out how to bring that global scale phenomenon. What happens if Greenland melts faster than we think? We need to bring that down to a level where Miami Beach can think street by street how much sea level rise are they going to have to deal with, and so that process we have not engaged on. We haven't gone the next step from these global climate change models to models that can actually be used for regional decision support that Alan needs to figure out how he's going to, design the city to be resilient out to 100 years. So that process is not happening, in part because we've gotten bogged down on this debate of whether the climate is changing, and instead of actually doing the problem we need to do.
The governor, Rick Scott, doesn't want to hear the words climate change. Marco Rubio has been very reluctant to accept man-made climate change. Henry Briseño, how do you look at this? Can what's coming, and it'd be great to model it perfectly, though that's hard to do, but you see a trend line here. Can it be managed with building design, with more ambitious engineering, Henry?
Well, I think that we have to recognize that what the mayor Levine is doing in Miami Beach is what we need to do right now. We need to keep the city dry. We need to keep the economic development and activity going. But then we have to think in the longer term, because we are thinking, and these solutions, or the solutions these engineers are proposing or actually implementing, will keep us dry for the next 20 years, maybe. But there are a lot of different issues that occur here. And you mentioned some of them. What's going to happen with the sewer? What's going to happen with the sources of fresh water, which, in fact, are not exactly on Miami Beach? Some of the water doesn't come from Miami Beach. It comes from somewhere else. And we are having all those wells being salinized right now.
Because seawater salt, yep.
Yeah, that's an intrusion of seawater into the aquifers. So the aquifers, the wells for tapping those fresh water that we need, have been moving inland. And in different cities north of Miami, in Broward and Fort Lauderdale, et cetera. And so we need to begin thinking with a little longer term scenario. We know from the geology, from what's coming, that sooner or later, we'll have to move. So we need to begin thinking about how we do it. Otherwise, we are going to have a chaos.
What do you mean have to move? Move where?
Well, exactly. Where, how, when, and where are going to be the fresh water for those new cities, the services, the roads, communication, school, etc. We need to sit down and think. And that's what should be done right now, because then it's going to be late, and then things are going to just cascade into chaos. What I propose is that right now people should be thinking, just sitting down and think about how we're going to do it in 20, 30, 50, 100 years, so we have plans, and convert what is actually a crisis facing this problem with sea level, convert that into an opportunity. Because just think for one second, what's going to be the investment? How much economic movement is going to happen if you found a new city?
That's about as big as it gets. People talking about Miami being the most valuable, high-priced infrastructure in the world to be under this kind of challenge, in part because it's such a fantastic city and such a popular city right now. I want to bring all that back to you, Alan Shulman. A couple of callers from your backyard first, if I may. Mary in Miami. Mary, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, my husband and I just bought a home about 5 blocks from the water on Miami, across from Miami Beach, but on the mainland. And when we were buying our home, we weren't thinking of it as a long, long-term investment, 20, 30 years. But we certainly took into consideration these, you know, the sea level rise and what's going to happen. And it was amazing when we were shopping for a home. So many people in Miami Beach and on the mainland right across from Miami Beach are shopping for homes, and nobody is talking about this. Nobody is having these conversations. They're just, you know, buying these homes at these really high prices. It's just amazing.
Do you think they're not thinking about it, or they're thinking, well, 20 or 30 years is enough for us, and then after that, come what may?
Well, that's what we were thinking. We were thinking, well, maybe we'll stay in this home for 7-10 years, and then it will still be okay, but maybe not. Maybe if we stay there for 15 years and try to sell the home, we'll run into problems. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. We love hearing people talk about solutions and innovative things that they're doing to try to, you know, counter this. But certainly we thought about it, but it wasn't at the forefront of our mind and affecting the decision that we made to buy a home that close to the water.
But all these quiet calculations going on, and it's really fascinating. We wish you luck. Stay dry, Mary. Stuart in Hollywood, Florida. Stuart, you're on the air.
Thank you, Tom, for a fascinating show. I basically think I wanted to echo some of the sentiments and concerns with a question. I mean, I have faith that in engineering solutions, Miami Beach was underwater to begin with.
Yeah.
And they had a fill to build it to start. So
yeah,
there's going to be a lot of fill. But long term, I mean, when you hear the mayor talk about 500 years, it sounds like a lot of bluster, as the last caller was talking about the short term for property investments, for somebody who owns a property in Miami Beach. And if you're thinking long term, like if it's a retirement investment or something, at what point do you start to reconsider and think, well, maybe it's not a good long-term investment. Maybe it's just a good short-term investment, real estate in a place that's going to go underwater.
I'll put it to Alan Shulman. Alan, I mean, you're a great architect. You can think in grand terms about floating cities and all the rest, but, you know, there's a built infrastructure there right now. What about Stuart's question? You must deal with developers all the time. How are people factoring in what's coming to what's there now and what's being built now, Alan?
Right. Well, I don't hear a lot of concern among developers for the issue of sea level rise right now, although everybody is talking about it. And you know, to their credit, the city is really putting things forward. But it's worth considering that it's not just the beaches that drive people to Miami Beach anymore. There are many beaches all over the world that are much more accessible and less expensive to get to. So I think what brings people to Miami Beach is the city, is the character of the place, the urbanism, the mix of cultures, the energy, the dynamism.
Are you noting that because you're thinking the beach may not be there, maybe covered? Is that the point?
No, I'm noting that because I think it's such an important factor of the identity of the city that I think it will persist. And I think that people will adapt because the city, is worth it. People are engaged in the city. They are, they have big investments in the city.
It's fabulous. It's truly fabulous. Henry Briseño raises the economics of this. I mean, if people begun to cost out what it takes to turn from Miami Beach today into a Venice, or even more than a Venice, a kind of floating city of somehow above the water. Do the economics make sense, Alan?
I don't know if that question's for me or
yes,
Henry, but the economics, I think, would make sense over time. You know, one of the characteristics of Miami Beach as a city is that it changes very quickly. The city that is there right now is a very different city than I knew as a kid, and it's probably going to, you know, change again very quickly in the next 20 or 30 years. So I think there's a lot of opportunity to start putting in place ideas, models, building types that can be used, that can be sort of exploited by others to create the next layer of the city.
May have to float. Ben Kirkman, a lot of listeners saying, well, why don't you do what the Dutch do, dikes and walls and all this? But I guess with this porous limestone beneath, you can't hold the waters back as the Dutch do, Ben.
That's right. That's not a solution for us. But there is experience that we've gotten that Miami Beach has actually sought out from the Dutch advice on how to manage the sea level rise problem. So there is lessons to be learned from how the Dutch do these things. But definitely our topographic problem is very different than theirs, and so our challenges are different.
I guess, Jenny, this Paris meeting has special significance for coastal cities, Boston, where I'm sitting, New Orleans, if you're there, Virginia Beach, if you're there, and certainly Miami. I mean, how high the sea level ultimately goes is absolutely critical for your city, Jenny.
Well, yeah, because how high it goes is going to determine how we respond to it. And, you know, again, I think, as I said before, if we can figure out locally what that's going to be, we'll be better prepared to design the solutions. And Alan made a good point, too, which is Florida is constantly changing. The Florida I grew up in is a different Florida today. So,
but it's still there, at least. The coastline is not right up at Orlando. We will see where this goes. And it's fascinating to hear Miami wrestle with and imagine this future with all of its unknowns. Jenny Seletovich at the Miami Herald, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Ben Kurtman at the Rosenthal School for Marine and Atmospheric Science there, University of Miami. Ben, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Henry Briseño at the Florida International University Southeast Environmental Research Center. Mr. Briseño, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom.
And Alan Shulman at Shulman and Associates Design and Architecture in Miami. Thank you, Alan.
Thanks, Tom.
Great to have all of our callers from Miami with us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.